God's got something special. We've had the best time we've ever had back in the States. I've had people drive from the man that invited me to church 25 years ago. All he did was give me a tract. He said, "Where do you go to church?" I said, "I don't go to church anymore." First day of work with him, he said, "Why don't you come visit my church?" And he gave me a tract, and I went there Sunday morning. God saved my soul. He drove up from Alabama just to spend a day with me Friday. People driving from all over, and friends and family. I mean, it's just amazing. God gives you such an amazing... There's so much. Paul and I were discussing all the people we've invited to church, and just recently, there's so much people out there, so many problems out there, isn't there? And it's just heartbreaking, you know, to see family and friends and people just struggling, and they say, I want to come here, Paul, or I want to come to church, and you invite them, they don't come. The devil gets the victory. And I'm glad that you're here today, and I'm glad that you got the victory coming, amen? Now the thing is to take the Word of God and receive it as what it is, the Word of God, amen? Go to John chapter 14. That's what's important, because that's how we have the victory. I teach with all kinds of things. I teach with rubber animals, a chameleon. We're not supposed to be a chameleon, amen? Change our colors with our environment. And I teach with a snake, a big old snake, and I've seen people run down the street screaming with that thing. But the poison's in his mouth. The poison's in his mouth. God's very wise in what he named everything. We're sheep. And we've got shepherds, and I've taught shepherds the Bible in Romania, and our shepherds have taught me a lot of things about a shepherd and his sheep. And very amazing things. I don't have time for all that, but I teach with balloons. I teach with balloon animals and stuff like that. And it always, people remember these things better. But the most important thing is the Word of God. And we'll go ahead and just read one verse. Let me put my glasses on. Verse 8. Philip saith unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Let's go ahead and pray. God, we thank you, first of all, for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you so much for your great salvation, all you've provided for us in Christ. Father, thank you so much that you are near. Thank you for the song. Thank you for this church. Lord, thank you for the people here today. Everyone that's come, everyone has a different need. Lord, but your word is all sufficient. God, I pray that you just meet every need, speak to every heart, and help each and every one of us to take to heart and to receive what you have for us, Lord. Lord, you're our only help. We see all these people out there struggling, all these people that have so many problems. Lord, I'm in Walmart, and I counsel people in Walmart. But how much better for people if they'd come to you for help, Lord, because you are the only real help man has. Father, I pray you bless now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, what is sufficient? What is enough? How much do you need? I mean, we're Americans, right? What will work for you? What else is there? Go to Acts chapter 2. You know what it really comes down to is the Word of God. In the book of Acts, we'll just go through a few things here. But is His Word sufficient? In chapter 2, of course, people ride verse 37 and 38 about, you know, being baptized. But the reason why they got baptized is because of verse 41. It says, Then they that gladly received His Word were baptized. They received the Word of God, and that's why they got baptized. Right. Salvation is in reception of the Word of God. And go to chapter 8. Flip over to chapter 8. Just a couple verses. Verse 14. That's why it's so important to have the right Bible. I mean, other people say, "Oh, you people, you're a fanatic." No, you didn't. It's not shoving it down their throat. It's like, man, don't you want to have all that God has for you? Do you realize that the King James English, that Shakespearean English, has more descriptive words than any other Bible? I mean, come on. God's trying to describe Himself and reveal Himself unto you. How do you describe a joy unspeakable and full of glory? Or a peace that passeth all understanding? How does God describe Himself to us, to something that we can sustain for all eternity, that's much more better and much more sure than hearing God the Father speak out of a cloud? You know what I mean? And yet, the deeper we get into the book, the deeper God reveals himself to you. And you'll see things like at the wedding. I've done two weddings this year. I seen for the first time ever that Christ sanctified the church through the washing of water of his word. And I seen, now I need to apply it, but I seen that with a husband and wife, because that's the comparison, that we need to sanctify and cleanse one, because sanctification is cleansing, purification of our marriage through our words. Our words need to be purifying and cleansing, amen? That's how God cleans us up. How shall a young man cleanse his way? Amen? By taking heed to thy word, amen? All right, Acts chapter 8, verse 14. He says, now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. Chapter 11, go to chapter 11. Verse 1. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. Chapter 17. Go to chapter 17. See, the thing is you're going to read about all through the book of Acts, the acts of the apostles, the acts of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The word of the Lord went forth, and the word of the Lord increased, and the word of God, you know, I mean, that's what you're going to read. The seed, you know what Romania taught me is basics. The seed is the word of God. The power is in the word. The power is in the gospel. The power is in the blood, and the power is in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. But what people don't know out there is what the Bible says. And they need to know that the Bible says this. Amen. In chapter 17, verse 11, it says here, they were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received, this is talking about those in Berea, that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Amen. Now, so that's it. Amen. You know, Mary kept those things in her heart. She heard things and she kept them in her heart. Amen. And that's what made her a great Christian. Amen. She knew she was a sinner and needed to be saved. Now, you've got examples throughout the scriptures, but I'll tell you four basic things that took place in everybody's salvation. Okay. They heard the word of God. They realized they were a sinner. They realized that God was dealing with them personally and it changed their life forever. Now, the Jews require the sign. So Peter, Jesus says, launch out. Amen. He heard the word of God. Jesus was preaching. And he took him out in the boat and they caught all these fish. Peter's like, he's seen all these fish. Peter, what'd he do? He fall down. Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. Amen. Jesus said, henceforth, you're going to catch men. Peter realized that God was dealing with him personally. Now you take the Samaritan woman. She heard the word of God. She realized she was a sinner. Sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. Yeah, you bet. I can imagine what was going on in her heart, you know. Yeah, the man that you had, you've had five husbands. The man you have now is not your husband. My, oh, my. She ran into the city, said, come see a man which told me everything I ever did. Amen. Think about that. But she heard the word of God. She realized she was a sinner. She realized that God came to her personally. It changed her life forever. Philippian jailer heard the word of God, realized he was a sinner, realized God was dealing with him personally. Even Acts chapter 2. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Big crowd of Jews. They heard the word of God. They realized that God was dealing with them personally. Amen. God dealt with you personally. Has Jesus Christ come to you and showed you that you're a sinner and you cannot save yourself? Have you heard the word of God? See, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. The simplicity of Christianity is amazing. Because, and I know them, and they follow me. We follow him according to the word of God. It doesn't matter what anybody else is doing. Peter asked Jesus, what shall this man do? Jesus said, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. That's my life verse for ministry, amen. It doesn't matter what anybody else is doing. I'm supposed to follow Christ, keep my eyes on him, and just listen to him, amen. And all is well, amen. You're going to have dark times. You're going to have rough times. You're going to bust your knuckles once in a while, amen. But it's been a long time, brother, I'll tell you. But you know what? The flesh is wicked. The flesh is wicked, but God is victorious. We need to listen. You know, the Ethiopian eunuch heard the word of God, realized he was a sinner, realized God was dealing with him personally. Cornelius, same thing, heard the word of God. Amen. In materialistic, Matthew chapter 6, go to Matthew chapter 6. Jesus hit material, you know, because of America, but even over there. You know, you'd be surprised. Gypsies, we're talking about multiple families living in a house with a in a shack that's just as dirty as you can be, throwing out a piece of linoleum on the floor and washing their clothes on the floor from a well they got a cart up from, you know, water they got a cart up, and they're all so dirty. And you ask the little kids, what's wrong with a cat? This is one of the things I teach the kids. I said, what's wrong with a cat when it's dirty? And they said, oh, it's sick. It's bonob. It's sick, right? I said, what's wrong with you? Are you sick? Clean up. You know what? When you get in depression, I don't want to shave. I don't want to take a shower. I don't want to clean up. Why? Because you're sick emotionally. Amen. God fixes us. He heals us all around. Amen. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, it's all very important. Well, the materialism is not everything, and Jesus tried to teach us that. But that's what so many people are hung up on. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25, he says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought of your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your own body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass in the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? You know, money problems is one of the major problems in marriages, in all of ours. What's sufficient? He says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what ye shall eat, or what we will drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, that's salvation, and all these things shall be added unto you, but also just walking with Christ. Take therefore no thought of the morrow, for tomorrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. God says in the Word that there's enough evil today. Amen. We don't need to be worrying about tomorrow. But what is sufficient? Proverbs 25:16 says, has thou found honey? Eat so much as it sufficeth thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomit it. You ever eat too much? Oh my, I'm back in America. I don't even want to go there, amen? We don't have buffets. We don't get a plate like you get in America. We don't have potlucks, brother. You know where I've been staying the last 2 weeks? Shipshawana, Indiana. You ever been over to the Gateway Restaurant or the Essen House or something? They got this place called Rise and Roll. I don't even want to talk about it, amen? Okay, anyhow, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6 through 8. You got to read this, 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 8. And it'll put us back where we're supposed to be getting to, amen? 1 Peter chapter 6, verse 6 through 8, okay? Very, very amazing thing. What is written here, and Paul said he learned to be content, all right? Chapter 6, 1 Timothy, verse 6 through 8, he said, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Let me give you a little story about contentment real quick. I got saved in 1990, okay? I was a drug addict, all that mess. God cleaned me up. I haven't had any drugs or alcohol for 25 years. Paula was going to divorce me. He gave me Paula back. He gave us 5 kids. We had 1 baby. He gave us 4 more. He just gave me everything besides eternal life. I got into ministry, jail ministry, nursing home ministry, bus ministry, you name it, okay, junior church. I taught the guys in the jail, your treasure has to be in the right place, because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And you got to be involved in the local church. You got to be involved in ministries, amen? Clean the bathrooms, whatever it takes, amen? Sweep the floors, and your heart will be in the right place. Well, and I got out of Bible college in 94, waited 7 years for God to tell me what to do. Well, what happened was I went to Romania to teach in the Bible college in 2001. And I got there and found out I wasn't going to be teaching. And I wasn't going to be preaching. And we couldn't work on the building because we couldn't get any insulation to put in the wall. Amen, brother. Be thankful. You got insulation to put in the wall. Basically, I went to Romania for nothing. And the worst part was my own pride, because when I came back to America, people were going to say, what'd you do in Romania? I was going to say, nothing. I didn't do nothing. And I was upset. I was mad. It was 1:30 in the morning when I found this all out. And I told the Father that night when I went to bed. I said, Father, my heart's really wrong. I know it is. Because it's all about the work of God. And I love Christ. He's forgiven me so much. You know what I mean? But I said, help me to be content. Well, that night, it was early in the morning. Anyhow, Thursday night they have services there. That night a preacher from Kentucky got up and preached on the Lamb of God. And he preached on Adam and Eve in the garden. He said this. He said, Adam and Eve sinned against God. And he said, but God shed some blood. And he said, and covered their nakedness in their shame. And then he said this. He said, God skinned his own son for you. Man, I just broke. I said, Father, I'm so sorry. I got all wrapped up in the work and the ministry and everything. I'm content with Jesus, amen. I've learned that Jesus has to be the greatest treasure. Like Job, you can lose your family. You can lose the dearest things on this earth to you. Your friends, your family, your occupation, your wealth, whatever it be. You can lose it all, but you can't lose Jesus, amen. You need to be content with the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Peter 1:18. Spiritual things. First of all, salvation. We deal with work salvation. That's all we fight with. And I realize that's pretty much what it is around the world. That's what all these... We've got so many friends and family, and so do you, that are hung up on a work salvation. They think they can save themselves, and their pride keeps them from submitting to God's salvation and obeying the gospel. But and they say, oh, you Baptists, you make it too easy. Oh, you Baptists, once saved, always saved, you know. You're so wrong, you know. Well, you're so wrong. You take all the glory from God, amen. Because it's God's salvation, and it's His righteousness. It's not mine, amen. At 1 Peter 1:18, he says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. That's the problem, too much tradition. Teachings of men. But in verse 19, he says, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Amen. Our salvation is paid for by the blood of Christ. Amen. And what I tell them, I don't even talk about anything else but the blood now. I said, what you say is you say that the blood is not sufficient. You say that the blood's not enough. Oh, you Baptists, you make it too easy. Well, it wasn't easy for Jesus, let me tell you. And I'm saved because of what Jesus did. Amen. Not because I'm keeping it or anything else. It's all about Christ, amen? And I'm going to give Him all the glory. We got icons all over Romania, these big crucifixes. And the people go around doing the sign of the cross, and, you know, praying in front of the icons all the time. And it breaks your heart. The little kids, you know, are taught to do this, you know. And it's like, you know what? I just point at the icon and say, don't you think that what Jesus did was enough? What He did was enough to save us, amen? I serve the Lord Jesus Christ because I am saved. I love the Lord because He first loved me, amen? I know, you know, JWs are the fastest growing thing in Romania because they have the liberty in Christ to sin, right? And that's what they've told me. And I tell them, I said, I don't talk about things that they reject, like heaven and hell. They reject that stuff, okay? But they do talk about eternal life or everlasting life and the forgiveness of sins. So I ask them, I said, are your sins forgiven? Do you have everlasting life? Well, I'm working on it, right? And I say, okay, if you had €1 million and I had €1, would you trade me? They said, no, that's stupid. I said, yeah, and I have my sins forgiven and I have everlasting life. Why would I trade it for your stupid religion? You know? And I do it in love, brother. But really, these people are so blinded by the devil that you got to do something to shock them, wake them up, amen? Tell them, hey, Christ isn't, His blood is sufficient. Look at Romans chapter 8. Look at Romans chapter 8. You know, what is enough? What is sufficient? What is it that we need, amen, to go on another day, to take another step, to let Lord God Almighty use us a little more, amen, to give a little more to God, amen? He can only use what you give Him. He won't take it. He just asks for it in love, and we serve Him out of love. Romans chapter, that was an excellent Sunday school lesson. You're going to love the end of this message. But I got to turn there. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. He says, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Is his adoption sufficient? Man, I got saved, and I realize I'm going to heaven. I'm accepted. Amen. God, that's what all this homosexuality garbage with all the Christians is going on in America. They want to be accepted with God, but you can only be accepted with God through Jesus Christ. It's not through the fact that some man or some organization or some religion accepts you and accepts your sin. That's not it at all. It's the fact of you need to be accepted with God. You have to stand before God as your judge. People are, it's not a game, it's not a joke, it's not a organization or a business or a military operation, amen? It's the fact that there is a creator, we have a maker that we have to stand before someday, amen? And I want to know, you know, people said, "I wish I had your blind faith." I said, "My faith's not blind, amen." I love preaching in the nursing home on the new body because, you know, people don't even know that the Bible talks about that. Incorruptible, immortal, that's in the Word of God, brother. Let them words get a hold of you, amen. You're looking at an immortal person, amen. Whosoever liveth and believeth in him shall never die. I am never going to die. That's what Christianity is all about. They're not dead. The Romanians, they go to a funeral, saddest thing you ever heard in your life. Oh, you're gone forever. We'll never see you again for 3-4 days. Amen. You're gone forever. We'll never see you again. You're gone forever. No, that's not what Christianity is about. Christ conquered death. His adoption is sufficient. Know ye not? I mean, think about that. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. I'm his child. I can pray. Now, I don't have to pray, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." I don't have to pray that. I can say, "Our Father, my Father." And he hears my prayers. How glorious is that? His adoption is sufficient. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. We all got him, amen. He keeps us from, God knows the way to humble us, amen. You know, you might mislead a pastor and you might have to confess before a church because he said something to the church that I did it just carrying boxes, amen. There was a little more involved in it, amen. Amen. You know, I'm going to be truthful before men no matter what because I'm accountable. But I'll tell you what, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, what God said to Paul about this whole thing, he said, "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." His grace is sufficient. And I like to use that with people too. Okay, Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9, that's the independent Baptist verse, brother. But it's in the Bible. Just like Romans chapter 3 or Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, you should memorize these. "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. But by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Amen? It's by grace. And his grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. I've seen some things in 25 years of preaching. And one of the things that I'll never forget, my oldest sister lost an 18-year-old boy. I've seen several friends actually lose their firstborn and children. I've seen a lady lose her firstborn son when he was 14. He drowned on a church outing. And I went to the graveside, hundreds of people, and his mama sat there, and she sung all the way through, did not break at all. She sung all the way through, "I have more to go to heaven for than I had yesterday." And I said, "God, I've never lost a child, but I know this, that if I do, your grace is sufficient. Because I witnessed the grace of God. And you know, we're in the greatest ministry in the world. It's the greatest work in the world. Because it's God Almighty, it's Christ that binds up the broken heart. I've tried to do it. I've tried to help. I've tried to bind up the broken heart. You can't do it. Only Jesus can. Or to open the prison to those that are bound, or to lead captivity out of captivity. Amen. But Jesus can. But to comfort those that mourn, to comfort those that mourn, Jesus can. His grace is sufficient. His blood is adoption. Amen. We need to count the cost. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Go back to chapter 3. In verse 5, very, very important verse for a Christian. He says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. That's a good verse for all the new evangelicals. I see these books and stuff, you know. You got the power in you. It's all about you, you know. You can do it, amen. No, I can't, amen. Jesus can. I don't believe in self-esteem at all. I believe in Christ's esteem. You're looking at a man that has been made a man and been made a father, been made a husband, been made a missionary, a servant. I go into the prisons. I'll preach to murderers. I've seen God save murderers. I've dealt with some very, very wicked people. I've stood before drunken gypsies. I've been beaten, kind of, but I have been physically abused. All right. And I drop on my knees and pray, and I'll stand before kings by the power of God. He wants me to stand before kings, amen? Because He is all I need, and He's all you need. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, of course in chapter 8, here's the key. I had a Romanian tell me this spring, he said, you know, living for Christ is too much, it's too hard. It's too hard of a work. I said, it's not a work. Living for Christ is not a work. It's a surrender. In chapter 8 and verse 1 through 5, he says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy, look at this, trial of affliction, abundance of their joy, deep poverty, abounded to the riches of their liberality. That's a real liberal there, amen. The kind that God loves, amen. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. That's what makes a church an awesome church. Praying us with much entreaty that they would receive the gift. Take upon us the fellowship of the ministry to the saints. But here's the key. This they did, not as we hoped, but they gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Now, I've been preaching 25 years, and I've had pastors want me to preach on money and tithing. I went to Nepal a year ago, and the pastor, first thing he said, I want you to preach to my church on tithing. I'm like, yeah, this is always fun to talk about, okay? But you know what? This isn't the problem. It's, did you give yourself to the Lord? Have you given yourself to the Lord? Because if you're given to God, this doesn't matter. All these material things doesn't matter. It really doesn't. It's all irrelevant because, you know, it's like people say about the orphanage, what a wonderful ministry. No, it's my life, man. I've raised these kids in the orphanage. It's not a ministry. It's no different than your church here. This is not your ministry. This is your family. This is the body of Christ. Know you not that you are the body of Christ? He compares you to His bride. That's a wonderful typology of His love. And as a man nourishes and cherishes himself, Christ nourishes and cherishes the church. Amen? And how wonderful it is when we're part of it because we've given ourselves. We just don't go to church. Amen? You are the church. Amen? In chapter 9, he says in verses 6 through 9, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Amen. Now, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. What does it do? It shows you that God is everything you need, and he makes you sufficient. Our sufficiency is in him. We're able to do the work wherever we go or preach the gospel wherever we go because of Jesus Christ, because God enables us. And God provides for it, amen? Can God do it? How about your salvation? Is his blood sufficient? Is his adoption sufficient for you to walk with the Lord? I know too many Christians that are defeated and don't walk with the Lord, amen? They just don't think, well, I can't walk with God. Well, you don't understand what it is to walk with God. They think, you know, that a lot of people put across this entire sanctification thing like you got to be perfect or pure or something. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that we walk in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Amen? So to walk in the light is not what people think. Well, I got to walk perfect. I just can't live the Christian life, right? That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says in verse 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? You know what it is to walk with God? Confess your sins. David was a good repenter. Amen? And that's what it takes for you to walk with the Lord and to walk in the light. The light says, you've done this, just like you said about the Corinthians. This is a correction book. Amen? I call it the butt book. Because every chapter says, you're doing this wrong, but God, amen? It does, too. I mean, it's in there every chapter. It's correction, it's instruction, it's reproof, it's rebuke. Well, people don't like that no more. It's all pins and needles, man. You got to be careful how you talk to people. Well, hey, you're a sinner. You need a Savior. Get saved, amen? He's the only way to heaven. But go to chapter 13. First Corinthians chapter 13. Pastor Bicklehop taught a good lesson this morning on chapter 13. And I said, he's going to like this, maybe. I hope he likes this. But, you know, honestly, I'll tell you what it comes down to with salvation, okay? You might tell everybody you're saved. You might have been telling everybody your whole life you're saved. I don't know. You might have made a profession, but the Bible says to examine yourselves, okay? Know ye not your own? It says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Faith is singular to God. There's only believers and unbelievers. That's all there is to God. And it's nothing about denomination or anything like that. It's about Jesus Christ and faith in him alone, all right? And he says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Know ye not your own selves? Prove your own selves how that Jesus Christ liveth in you. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. So if Christ is in you, you're going to know it, amen? I ask people, they say, are you saved? I say, well, I hope so. Well, you're probably not. You know, people say, well, I asked Jesus to save me, but I said, well, you didn't get it. And they said, well, how can you say that? Because if any man ask not in faith, you know, let not that man think that he received anything of the Lord. And I said, if you didn't ask believing that God would save you, you never got it, amen? And then you got all this confusion and division about whether to pray or not. Well, if you believe, you'll pray. Amen? But Jesus did say, if you being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall the Heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask? He told the woman at the well, if you knew the gift of God, do you know the gift of God? Jesus Christ. Amen? Man. That's what happened. Burl Stonecker opened up the Bible and he showed me Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I said to Brother Stonecker, I said, you mean it's a gift? Daystar arose in my heart. Amen. I got it, amen. And I asked Jesus to be my Savior and forgive me, and he saved me, amen. And if you don't have that assurance, if you don't have the fact that the Spirit of God is in you and he bears witness with your spirit that you are a child of God, today is the day of your salvation. Amen. Today, the Spirit of God he's telling you, you're hearing the Word of God. He's telling you, you're a sinner and you can't save yourself. The work of the Spirit is to reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. He's telling you that you've sinned, that you don't have your own righteousness. Amen. That only Christ is righteous. Only he's pure and perfect. And that there's judgment. and you're under judgment. The wrath of God abides on you without Christ. That's what the Spirit of God does to every person. And if you're saved today, He's sufficient. In 1 Corinthians 13, I'm just going to skim it, but let me share with you, and I'm done. I like listening when I drove a BP tanker for years before I went to Romania, and I listened to a lot of preaching. And I'd get some oddball tapes once in a while, and I got one from an old English gentleman, Martin Lloyd Jones. And I heard this guy give a thing on Corinthians. You might have heard it before. But he did an interesting thing. He put his name in there. And he sometimes will say, for God so loved Paula that he gave his only begotten son, right? Because you can put your name in there. You know, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you can put your name in there. Because God's talking about you. You're a whosoever, amen? I'm a whosoever. Well, look at this with charity. Put your name in there. I'll put mine in there. Paul suffereth long. Paul is kind. Paul envieth not. Paul vaunteth not himself. Paul's not puffed up. He does not behave unseemly. He thinks not his own. He's not easily provoked. He thinks no evil. He rejoices not in iniquity, but he rejoices in the truth. He bears all things. He believes all things. He hopes all things. He endureth all things. Paul never faileth. Now, I don't know if you can put your name in there. I can't put my name in there, amen? Can you put your name in there? You know, these people out there that think they're so good. Oh, I'm a Christian. I've had guys in maximum security tell me that they've been a good person. I have. I haven't murdered anybody yet. Well, if you've hated anybody, you're the same as a murderer, according to the Word of God. Well, I've never committed adultery. Well, if you've looked at a woman or a man with lust in your heart, you've committed adultery. You know, the commandments are given as our schoolmaster to show us we've sinned. But Jesus fits in here. Jesus suffereth long and is kind. Jesus envieth not. Jesus vaunts not himself. He's not puffed up. You know, you see what I'm saying? Jesus never faileth. Now, here's the neat thing about being in Christ, and this is what is so important about us, to feed our spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. God's made Christianity simple, folks. He sets before you a blessing or a curse. Even to this day, it's still your choice. Do you want the works of the flesh, or do you want the fruit of the Spirit? It's your choice. If you're saved as a child of God, God is not going to make you do right. He gives you many, many, many instructions. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He's talking about brethren, saved people, that had not given themselves to the Lord. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? Well, Jesus in you, Jesus in Paul suffereth long, and is kind. Jesus in Paul envieth not. Jesus in you vaunts not himself. He's not puffed up. Do you see what's so important about walking in Christ as a Christian? Folks, if you're not saved today, really, seriously, it's between you and God. I've had a wonderful time. God's used me in so many churches. I mean, I've preached in over 400 churches just in America. It's been amazing. I've never had a spiritual battle like I've had this last couple of days. Because God's got something going on. And I pray that you respond to however God is working on you. We need so much to realize that His blood is sufficient. That His adoption's enough. That His grace will get us through anything that we're going through. Pastor, you come.
Let's bow our heads, please. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. He said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know what Jesus was saying? He was saying, I am sufficient for all of your needs. And today, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, Jesus and what He did on the cross of Calvary is sufficient to save you. If you're going through heartaches, If you've got a burden that you're carrying, Jesus is inviting you, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. With every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, I want to ask a simple question this morning. Has there ever been a time in your life when Jesus called to you for salvation and said, come to me and I'll save you? Can I see your hand this morning? And you responded to that gospel call. Amen. God bless you. You may put your hands down. Is there anyone here this morning that can say, preacher, would you pray for me? There's never been a time in my life when I've accepted Christ as my Savior, but I am concerned about my soul, and I do want to go to heaven when I die, but I'm not sure I'm going. Would you pray for me? Can I see your hand this morning? God bless you. Is there anyone else? Anyone else? How many here with an uplifted hand could say, preacher, I'm carrying a heavy load right now. My burdens are great. And I wish you'd pray for me. Can I see your hand this morning? God bless you. God bless you all over the auditorium. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you want God's rest and God's peace, then Jesus said, come to me. Why? Because he is sufficient to meet every need, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He is sufficient. Father, I pray, Lord, that you just meet the needs of those folks that are here today. Lord, I pray that you'd help them to realize that you are sufficient for every need, whether it be salvation, whether it be the burdens that we bear. I pray, Lord, that you'd help each of us to come to you. We ask it all in Jesus' name.